Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Zurian Show, and as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. For some of you, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus, but we are back, and you know, if God will bless us, we'll all be back strong. Anyway, as always, we hope again that we find you all in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. I know right now, you know, there are several people, many people, thousands of people that are not really in the best of spirits right now. Why are they not in the best of spirits? Because they suffer from something called the financial woes. The financial woes are something that seem to affect us all at one stage or another, and very few of us are immune to it. If it doesn't bother you now, it's bothered you in the past. If it hasn't bothered you in the past, you're probably looking forward to it in the future. And I know nobody's really looking forward to it, but it's one of those things that seems to come from time to time, and it affects us differently, or different people in different regions in different ways. I happen to be lucky to be in the Washington, D.C. metro area, which is definitely an area that, despite the fact that a lot of people may want to believe that they are suffering hard times, are really probably suffering some of the better times if you look at it statistically and you look at others throughout the nation. Not that there aren't things that are rough or not working out in the Washington, D.C. metro area, but compared to some other cities, states, regions, the Washington, D.C. area is actually doing quite well. But still, I am not downplaying the fact that there are people in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area that are also experiencing rough times. But again, all I can say to those of you that are doing okay is remember that unfortunately your time may come. And for those that are doing bad, you know, keep the faith, keep belief, stay positive, and keep taking action to do the things that are going to move you out of your present position and into a better position. Because guess what? Most things are cyclical. They go around. Times, chances, things, items, all of that. Which is actually really interesting. The title of the show is What's Real? And the reason that I'm actually doing the show and this have this particular title is because there's many times when it's good times and when it's not so good times that I really look at the people that I communicate with and look at the things that are around me. And I look even at my government and other governments and other areas, you know, throughout the world and wonder what's really real. You know, when you watch the news, what's the truth and what's not the truth? You know, the news is supposed to be there to inform you. However, most times it seems like what you hear and what you're totally bombed with or overwhelmed with is a massive amount of negativity. And when I say a massive amount of negativity, you know, sometimes it's kind of like, I wonder if any of us are really paying attention. You know, back in the earlier parts of 2000, they were talking about, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Okay, we spent millions and trillions of dollars supporting companies and trying to help build our infrastructure and get us ready to fight terrorism and all of those other things, and Al-Qaeda, and all of these other people, entities, and organizations that were bad. And we spent millions of dollars and actually put at risk the lives of millions of our military fighting men and women across the globe and sending them all different places, putting them in harm's way. However, a few years later, we come back and our same government, our same trusted officials, basically tell us that they never said that there were weapons of mass destruction. Again, what is real? You know, you find people that you believe are in loving, supportive relationships, and then you find out that in reality, they're not, and that destroys your whole world. Again, what's real? You go to school and get a great education or get a good education, and you spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and you go into debt, you know, for your kids, be it that you co-sign for them or your kids go into debt because they've got all of these student loans. And then they come out of college and they can't find a job. Again, what's real? You go on to websites to apply for positions, and you sign up for different websites to get a job, and you fill out all of those applications, and you fill out all of that process, and you sometimes give information that you probably shouldn't give out, and you don't get any calls for a job. Again, what's real? You go on to, let's say, some of the more official websites, government, county, city, state websites, and they have opportunities that are available. So you, again, take up time out of your day, and you fill out the applications, and you send everything in, and, you know, you do it before the job position closes or that open period closes for the job, and then in some cases months go by before anybody even reviews your resume or your application. Again, what's real? And mind you, that's only on the sites where you can actually get an update. Or you go to some websites, and if you really look at them, all of the particular job search engines, their real job isn't really to help get you a job. It's to get you to sign up for some type of educational program, you know, so that you can be qualified for the job that you need when you need a job. You don't need another class. You don't need another course. You don't need another degree. You don't need another certification. What you need is a job so that you can feed your family and keep your home and continue to pay your taxes and put food on the table and have food in the refrigerator and keep the heat or the air conditioning running. You know, again, what's real? You know, we have friends and associates or people that we believe are our friends or people who we believe are associates or close associates, and you're constantly there for them. But then in that one time, that one incident when you reach out and say, hey, I'm in need right now, you know, I've loaned you X amount of dollars, or I've gone out of my way and put my reputation and everything on the line to try to help you and help your family, you know, could you see your way to maybe helping me? And you find out that that person now doesn't want to return your calls or doesn't want to communicate with you, or there's nothing that they can do for you, you know, no matter how many times you may have helped them. Again, what's real? You know, it's just really interesting when you think of it and when you look at the things that are around you. Now, again, even though I'm asking what's real, I can tell you what's real. What's real is the family members that you have that are really family members, the people that will do whatever is necessary to help you move to the next level. The same thing for the real friends, not the people who listen to you and want to go, oh my God, or thank God, or thank goodness, but the people that are actually going to be the tools, the instruments to help God's will be done, to help you out of that situation, to give you more than a prayer, but an actual hand up, not the people that are going to stand on your shoulders as they push you down because the water is rising high and they don't want to drown, the people that are going to lift you and pull you up, the family members, the children that are doing everything that they can to help you, the you know, there's a lot of positive things. The fact that you woke up this morning, the fact that you were born with hopefully two legs, two arms, hands, eyes, ears, a mind and a mouth to speak and ears to listen and a brain to take all that information in. The fact that each person was given gifts and all that they need to do is really start seeing the inner them so that they can experience the gifts that were given to them and then share those gifts, and then in turn multiplying the blessings by sharing their gifts with other people so that those other people can also progress and move forward in their lives to be able to share their gifts with even more people. You know, I was talking with someone recently, and I made the comment to a young man. Actually, the gentleman's a little bit older than me, but it's really interesting because this gentleman, even though he's been immensely blessed, and some of his blessings, I can't say may not have been deserved, but probably have not been earned, this gentleman is constantly in a state of negativity. He's constantly in a state of me, 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 I. He's a person that wants to listen but doesn't know how. It's a person that wants to step up but refuses to lift their leg and position their body because they feel that instead of them being able to catch themselves when they step forward, they're going to fall, so they don't necessarily step forward or they don't go in 100%. Well, anyway, when I was talking to this gentleman, who was a little bit older than me, I was trying to express in a positive way without sounding as if I was condemning or judging that, you know, if you lead with negativity, you're going to push more people away from you. Why? Because now everybody thinks that you're always negative. Everybody thinks that when you have something to say, it's going to be something that talks about you, I, or it's going to be something that is totally contradictory to the positive mood or other positive events that can occur, not only in your life, but in the life of others. And I was explaining to the gentleman by taking the other extreme of that is that it's the same thing if you're somebody that has been immensely blessed with fortune. Again, even though it may not have been deserved, you still have the big house, the big car, the nice bank account, or are able to travel, have a lovely family, have a beautiful wife or a beautiful significant other, you know, or, you know, you've been blessed with opportunity and influence, and you're in a position where you can not only help yourself, but you are able to help others, yet you refuse to do so. And as you move through your life, you refuse to share your blessings with other people. You refuse to step up and lend your fellow man or fellow woman a hand as they move through their lives, or you do it with the expectations that you're going to get some monetary or some physical reward for it, and you're not doing it for the spirit of the fact that you're doing a good thing. You know, I was talking about how a person is constantly talking about their status, their position, their money, their trips, their this and their that, when they're talking to someone who has nowhere near the same, let's say, gifts or blessings, how that can be looked at in a negative sense. But the gentleman that I was talking to, it was really interesting because as I was talking to him, he was getting it. But then as he continued to talk, you realized that he slipped right back into what we were talking about in the first place. He regressed back to I. He regressed back to, well, what I'm trying to understand, instead of listening long enough to truly understand. You know, there's an old saying that we were all given two ears and one mouth. The interesting thing is that none of us seem to function in the capacity in which we were given the gifts. So we were given two ears, yet we listen twice. We listen two times less than we speak. In most cases, we speak 100 times more than we listen. And then when we are listening, some of us have a propensity to not be listening, but to be preparing our rebuttal, preparing our answers to the questions asked instead of listening to the entire question being asked. Or we pause for dynamic and for effect instead of saying what we need to say and letting it flow from our hearts and our minds instead of trying to, conjugate the correct verbs or make the correct pronunciations. We're so worried about how we look, how we sound, and what we're presenting that we end up presenting things that are even worse than what would come out of our mouths if we were to be natural, if we were to be flowing. So again, ladies and gentlemen, what's real? From the hair that's on somebody's head to the nails that are on their fingers, what's real? What do you see value in, and what do you give value? What do you give value for? Are you paying a dollar, and that dollar is worth a dollar? You know, nowadays we put money away to just find out that the dollar that we saved is not the dollar that we get back out of the bank. Why? Because the money that we saved is not worth what it was when we put it in, even though we've put it in per time. You know, life is just really amazing. You know, as I get older, and as most of you get older, I'm sure that you've come to evaluate that in a lot of ways, life isn't necessarily fair. You know, I was looking at, and I've seen many people like this, but I'm just going to use one as an example. I was looking at a gentleman that lives very close to me who worked for a company for many years, and he retired. Well, now I watch that gentleman every day open his garage and close his garage and open his garage and close his garage and walk out into and look up the pipe stem and walk back and walk to the mailbox and, you know, knowing that the mailman only comes at a certain time every day and then come back. Tell me the same stories over and over again. But, of course, each time he tells me a little more. Sometimes he tells me a little less. Yet he's basically not living a life. He's retired. And you would think that it would be the beginning of his life because now he's got more time to do more things for more people, including himself. However, this gentleman has really not used any of that time. His retirement was almost a sentence. Why? Because he's chosen to not have a life. He's chosen to say that his life was over on the day that he left those people that he got used to working with, on the day that he left those people that he got used to being around and hanging out with, to the sense of in the latter start of his getting, I guess, closer to retirement, more of the vices posed their head than the assets and contributions. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about somebody that starts to gravitate towards constant drink, someone that starts to gravitate towards toxic things and things that don't add to the individual but take from the individual, and things that just don't do what they need to do for that person. You know, it's just really interesting how we work so hard to work so hard at accomplishing nothing. It's just amazing to me how we put faith in things that really have no structure. They have no ability to truly help us and put us in a position where we can, where they can truly take us to the next level, and that next level being something of meaning, that next level being something of substance. You know, most of us have friends, but we really don't have friends. We just have people that we know and we hang out with, but they're not people that add value to our lives. They're not people that bring the gifts to us. They're more people who steal the time from us. They're more people who are filling a void but really aren't providing any substance. It's kind of like eating cardboard. If you eat cardboard, do you get any nutritional value out of it? No. However, most of us are filling ourselves up with human interactions that mean nothing to us, relationships that mean nothing to us, jobs that mean nothing to us, money in the bank account that means nothing to us. And in the end, no matter how much money we have, no matter how many possessions we have, we're hollow. And we're empty, and we're unnourished, and we're unfulfilled inside. And the reason that we're unfulfilled inside is because we're not living the dream that we were supposed to live. We're not, if you want to look at that in a religious sense, we're not following the plan. We're not doing the things necessary for us to progress and to develop and mature as human beings, as physical and spiritual individuals. Most of us are just regurgitating some verses. We're regurgitating some chapters. We're not even living our lives. We're living a life that someone else wants us to live because that's what we believe that we're supposed to believe. Even those of us that consider ourselves to be people of faith or people of religion, You've done nothing but read that particular book that your grandfather read, your great-grandfather read, or great-grandmother read, or grandmother read, or what have you. And then even when you read the books that you read, you only read it, you read it in what? You read it in the language in which it was original, is which it was given to you, not the language that it was written. Well, anybody that knows anything about languages, I don't even care if it's a simple language like Spanish, which is a very popular language in the United States and abroad. In the Spanish language, there's certain interpretations, there's certain words in Spanish that don't quite translate to the same exact meaning in English. Well, it's the same thing if you're a person of the cloth and you read the Bible or even the Quran or the Hadith or the Talmud or the Torah. Well, if you're not reading that particular book in what? Aramaic, all right, or in Hebrew, are you really getting the correct translation? And then again, let's go back to when we talk about the translation. The people that translated the particular messages, we all know now in 2014 and further on that what happened. Some of the people that translated the books, that translated the versions, that decided which, let's say, gospels were going to go into the book, they had their own objective. They had their own following. They had their own belief. Because guess what? Even with the disciples, they all went different ways. How do we really know that whatever was said in John is what was originally said in John? Or is it in its entirety? Were there sections missing? Again, I don't know. I'm not disputing anybody's faith or belief. What I'm saying is that how can you condemn another person's faith or belief when most of us don't really know what we know? We count on or depend on someone else to interpret or to share with us their understanding, and then if we agree with their understanding or we agree with their interpretation, and then we move forward. Again, as I said this many times, if it was all the same, then all of us would belong to one group. Even if you have the different religions, there wouldn't be 30 Baptist churches or Christian churches or synagogues or temples or mosques. Why? Because guess what? We'd all be saying the same thing. However, if you don't understand what the other religion is doing or what the other religion is saying, then guess what? You're probably missing a part of what your religion is saying. Why? Because each one kind of fed off of the other, whether you want to believe it or not. Let's be honest, if you're a Christian, what was Christ before he was a Christian? All right? Matter of fact, Christian comes from what? Christ, right? So he was a Jew. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't an argument about faith or religion. This is an argument about having the ability to articulate what it is that you believe in and then being able to understand that as well as you would like other people to, as you would like for other people to believe that you can interpret it. Because guess what? If you can't read those other languages, if you can't see what's being interpreted to you, and if you know that there are things that are probably missing, then that means you're not operating with the full breadth of knowledge that you need to truly make an opinion. You know, when I used to be in program management information systems, one of the companies that I worked for, and I handled multi-million dollar contracts with them and had hundreds of people that fell underneath my auspices or supervision. And I used to have a supervisor or a vice president that was my supervisor. And my vice president, my COO, he was a chief operating officer, what he used to say to me on a regular basis that used to really bug me, and as time went on, it bugged me even more, was he used to say, well, Z, you don't understand the big picture. And each time that he said that, I replied back, and several of the times I replied back with, okay, then what's the big picture? Let's not even go to the fact that I was never actually given the big picture, and that even of what I was given that was left out, I was still able to pretty much find a lot of success in the time that I was with that company. However, not knowing the big picture, I realized for some people is part of their chip. It's part of their edge. Them telling you that you don't know the picture, but yet refusing to share or give you access or the ability to find out what the big picture is part of their plan. Ladies and gentlemen, that little thing that I'm sharing with you is part of most big entities and most people in certain positions' plan, that you not have the necessary information to take it or take something to the next level. Now, yes, there are people that stumble over it in the process of life, but do you really want to stumble through life? Most of us are walking through life with blinders on. We don't really know what's going on. So again, I ask you, what's real? Are you paying attention to your children? Are you talking to your children? Do you relate to your wife? Are you being sociable with your wife? How do your finances look? How does your house look? Are you maintaining yourself? Are you eating correctly? Are you getting enough sleep, enough rest? Are you bringing the proper minerals into your life and the proper nutrients into your life? Are you communicating with the people that are your seniors, as in your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandfather? Are you looking up that history? Are you finding out your family tree? Are you doing the things necessary so that you'll have a better understanding of not just your today, but your yesterday? Because some of that stuff that happened in the past, and I'm not talking about the misery, I'm talking about just the general knowledge so that you know so that you cannot make the same mistakes or so that you can be guided to not make the same mistakes. Some of that stuff is crucial. Are the people around you limiting you or are they helping you grow? Are the books that you're reading and the people that you're associating with, are they people that bring value to you or take value from you? Are you the smartest person in the room? Are you the smartest person in your group? Because if you are, you need to find a different group. If you are, you need to go to another room. You know, they say a broken clock is right twice a day. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about this. What is real around you and in your life? And from what's real around you and in your life, what will your future bring? It's all predicated on your now and what you're doing to take advantage of it. So I'm asking you to go out there and find the magic. Where's the magic? The magic is within you. However, you have to reach out for that magic. You have to share your magic and your gifts with other people. You have to give freely and not expect something to come back and then be overly thankful when it is. You need to wake up every day with a smile on your face and be thankful that you woke up this morning. So guess what? Your book is still open and you've been given another chance to find your greatness and to share your greatness with others and also to acknowledge and accept the greatnesses of other people that you may have the opportunity to experience. So, my question again to everyone is, what's real? Where's your magic, and how are you going to make your magic actually make this world that we live in today and the persons right next to you right now better people as you grow and build yourself to be a better person? I want to thank you for listening. As always, I am thankful that you listen, because if you don't listen, all I'm doing is talking to myself. Again, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zurian Bennett. I am the author of the Positive Self-Defense series, which is Positive Self-Defense for Women, Positive Self-Defense for Men, Positive Self-Defense for Motorcycle Riders, and Positive Self-Defense for Entrepreneurs, which are all books that are available on Barnes & Nobles and, of course, on Amazon. Life is a gift. Live it and enjoy it. Please, if you have the chance and the opportunity, share my books. If you find the show of value, share it with someone who you think can get something from it. Again, this is Zurian of The Zurian Show saying take care, be well, God bless, and we wish you every success. Take care.